Blog Talk Radio.
This is your first fish.
I got one.
Father's Day, a day to say thanks to the most important guy in the world. This year, get him what he really wants at Cabela's Father's Day sale. Get 20% off Cabela's reels and fly reels, 25% off Sig Sauer Elite Performance Ammunition, and earn $25 in Cabela's bucks when you spend $150 or more in store. Come to Cabela's Father's Day sale, in store and online at Cabela's.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Nazim is the author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, a how-to manual for all those wanting permanent change in their lives. It is also a guide to virtually go back in time and eliminate all negative feelings associated with your past experiences that have caused any level of difficulty in your present life. Nazim has helped clients move from apathy to productivity, from codependency to loving themselves without attachment, from drug-addicted lifestyles to clean and sober positive examples, demonstrating what can be accomplished when one connects and stays connected to that which is life. I am Dorothy Rushy, the co-host. Without any further ado, I bring to you Nazim Rushy.
Well, all right. Thank you for the great introduction, my wonderful Dorothy. Yes, Dorothy does an excellent job as a co-host. Everybody loves her nice little voice coming on. Yes, they do. All right, thank you again. Well, it is another day in paradise. Paradise here in the Phoenix, Arizona area. You know, it doesn't matter what comes down from the physical skies, rain, sleet, snow, or whatever, heavy winds. In our minds, in our virtual experience, is paradise. Because we're alive to witness it. Whatever it is, we're here witnessing it. So as long as the sun comes up, it's another day in paradise. Welcome all into our Paradise One studio, where every day is a holiday and the party never stops. Yay! All righty then. Welcome again to the Reconnected Show, which is based on the chapters in my book, Reconnected. We always start with a nice universal opening prayer. Like I mentioned before, all the time on this program, whatever name or reference fits your belief system, will do just fine when I am mentioning God. Just know that we did not create ourselves, and in knowing this reality, we can give attention and honor the source of our creation for guidance and direction. I'm using God as an universal theme and is not relegated to any particular religion or belief system. What's the name of God? We thank you for the peaceful, passionate, and productive life you have created for us. Thank you for the unimaginable abilities you have placed within each and every one of us. Thank you for creating us for excellence, by excellence, and through excellence. Thank you for giving us the ability to rise above our stresses and problems and come out a winner, matching the winning mode in which you have created us. Thank you for giving us the life that we thought was only a dream. Amen. All right, for our show notes, we have Dorothy. Take it away.
We all have experienced disappointments in our past, and some of us have not reconciled those issues. In order for us to travel wonderfully on our healthy path of life, we have to release all unnecessary baggage that is preventing us from going full speed ahead. This is what Nazim's book, Reconnected, and this program is designed to do. Let us hear from you as we learn together how discovering the needs of our child self can make a substantial difference in our lives. The long-awaited book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, is available now at www.cloudsofabundance.com, amazon.com, Healthy Habits Food Stores in Phoenix, Arizona, Jazzy Yogurt Shop in Scottsdale, Arizona, Barnes and Noble.com. The chapters in the book and the themes of this Reconnected show are forgiveness, validation, self-esteem, visualization, self-image, communication and listening skills, optimism, gratitude, faith, spirituality, codependency and addiction, recovery issues, identifying and managing emotions. You can connect with Nazim using his email address in our book club at gmail.com or his website, www.cloudsofabundance.com. You'll find information such as life coaching, book signing dates, webinars, and workshops. All life coaching is done through your phone, so you can have sessions with Nazim wherever you may be in the world. Life coaching is about removing the obstacles and encouraging you to go beyond your perceived barriers to the accomplishment of your dreams and aspirations. Life coaching is about results now and creating the future that you want versus counseling that spends a lot of time in healing the past. Healing the past is also important and something Nazim does with his book and book-related events. It's time to be reconnected and time for the new you. Nazim?
Yes, it is time for the new you. It is. It is definitely time for the new you. All right. The Reconnected Show, this is a personal growth program. Absolutely. Designed with your inner peace in mind. The discussions will be based on the chapters, either directly or indirectly, in my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. Mm-hmm. This book contains a methodology for filling the many emotional voids experienced in childhood. You will learn to become a time traveler. Mm-hmm. Yes, traveling back to the time and place of your upbringing and becoming a senior advisor, next door friend of the family, and mentor to your child self. You will create the fictional character, the mentor, you, acting as the mentor or godparent to your child self. You will have sessions with your child self as you will address those negative events that you still carry with you and change the outcome to one of your desire. Mm-hmm. This way you will create real internal change in your life and be free of the negative effects of unresolved past issues. Hear that? Unresolved past issues. Unresolved past issues. That's a problem that most people have today. That's why the marriages don't last. You don't last long on the jobs. You have issues going on, personality disorders, and so forth. And what happens when you don't reconcile these things, you get old. In your 80s, you get real bitter. Real bitter. You know, at that point, it's almost impossible to change. You see? Do it now. When you have unresolved past issues, they only fester and multiply. All right, real important. This book is also for parents who want new information. Yes, new information for raising the best emotionally balanced children possible. I have a three-part parenting video on YouTube based on my book. Just go to youtube.com and put in a search, Reconnected, The Parent's Manual. You'll see it right there, three parts. All right, Reconnected is also for mentors who can appreciate additional tools for their mentees, and teachers who would cherish more methods for shaping, motivating, and inspiring our students, reflecting the greatness that they already possess within. Couples wanting a better relationship can also benefit from the personal growth tools being offered, such as communication and listening skills. Okay, we need to have strong, long-lasting, healthy marriages out here. Those in recovery will benefit from Reconnected. Oh, yeah, as I have over 100 pages dedicated to addictions, codependency, and recovery in my 12 Principles of Recovery chapter and codependency chapter. Very, very, very good. Yeah, we can stop the relapsing cycle now. Absolutely. This recovery program is not just for those afflicted with drug addictions. It is also beneficial to those suffering from anger, abuse, compulsive disorders, overeating, gambling, sexual and controlling issues. Mm-hmm. Reconnect is also for any individual who wants to consciously connect to the higher self, to spirit, source energy, to God. You see, it's really a multi-purpose manual, six manuals in one. Parents manual, teachers manual, recovery manual, mentors manual, a relationship manual, a manual for the transformation of your negative experiences to positive memories, loving yourself at deep levels and creating the life you have always desired. It's time to get this together. You see, if you love yourself, really love yourself, you won't tolerate abuse by yourself, to yourself, or from anybody else, and you surely won't put it out on anybody else. Okay? We got to stop all this other stuff going on, carrying unresolved issues, hatred, and so forth. Then we're going to talk about some of that today. All right? But, you know, it's time. Look in the mirror and love what you see. Love what God created there. Okay? And like Dorothy said, the book can be bought on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and cloudsofabundance.com. Get it now. Get it now. Real important. Okay? As you regulars know, we always do a happy news segment. With that, we go to our international and national news desk. Dorothy, take it away.
The title of today's article is Grocer 70 Gives Doors to His Employees for Free. Retiring Minnesotan is transferring ownership of his three stores as a thank you. It's written by Scott Stump. Just in time for Christmas, a retiring Minnesota grocery store owner is giving his roughly 400 employees quite a gift, ownership of his three stores. Instead of accepting any of the multiple offers he received from large national chains to purchase his stores, Joe Lufkin, 70, will transfer ownership of his two Lufkin's Village Foods in Bemidji, Minnesota, and another one in Wahpeton, North Dakota, to his employees as part of his employee stock ownership plan. The transfer of ownership from the Lufkin family to the employees will begin January 1st and will not cost the employees any money. The amount of shares each employee receives will be based on the length of service and salary. The program is expected to pay the Lufkin family off for the sale in 3 to 5 years, according to a report by the Minneapolis Star Tribune. My employees are largely responsible for any success I've had, and they deserve to get some of the benefits of that, Lufkin told the Star Tribune. You can't always take. You also have to give back. informed by his two sons that they were not interested in taking over the business, Lofkin and his family came up with the employee stock ownership plan to transfer ownership. We could have hired a gunslinger from Minneapolis, but that didn't sit well because the reward wouldn't go to the proper people, Lofkin's son, Jeff, told the Star Tribune. After 46 years in the business, Lofkin, who has Parkinson's disease, is retiring to travel the world with his wife. Lofkin announced last week that Brent Picard, who started in a janitor job at Lofkin's in 1998 and worked his way up to a top management position, will take over as the company's president and chief executive officer. Lofkin also acted like a regular guy, even as his business grew, driving vans for the company and hanging out in the break room with the other employees over the years, according to the Star Tribune. Joe would arrive at 3:30 every morning, Picard told the newspaper. No one could outstock Joe. No one could outwalk Joe. No one can outthink Joe. He can walk through a $2 million warehouse and tell you within a few thousand dollars how much is in there. Lofkin also has been giving to charitable causes for years, helping the Bemidji State University Foundation give scholarships to children, to students in need. That's a nice article. Naveen?
Wow, it really is there. It shows that everybody is not driven and motivated by greed. Now, here's this guy here who's 70, I believe, and has some Parkinson's now. I don't know what level of Parkinson's is, but, you know, he has some difficulties. And most time when people have difficulties there, they want to make sure that their family has what they need to have financially because they're not able or they don't have the same skills as they used to. So they're really looking for a way to make sure everything is okay financially. And he was in a great position to actually receive money from investors and others I know who wanted to take his three stores, I believe, to other levels. And he could have been paid off quite handsomely. But he chose to give back to his employees. And as the janitor actually became the president. Wow. You know, that's really something there. So there's goodness everywhere, you know. Even though we hear more about the negative side, people doing an awful thing to one another, because we got some horrible things happening in news right now, idea that there's another side to it. There are people doing wonderful things out here, wonderful things, and we want to spotlight those events and people on the Reconnected Show. All right, fantastic. So today's theme, insulation, isolation, and indoctrination, part four with Douglas Brown, Dr. Brown. Okay, on the last show with Dr. Brown, he was saying that when children cannot make the transition from the backyard to the schoolyard, then they are a product of an isolation parenting style. Wanting to be alone is another sign of isolation. It is healthy for the child to want to socialize from the ages of 5 through 8, competing with art or other things of interest. Yeah, to be curious and investigating their environment. When they do not act in this regard, that child is a product of an isolation parenting style, no doubt. One of the consequences of isolation is anger and resentment. Yes. Anger and resentment. We see it all the time. This is targeted not only to the caretakers, but to those who are successful. Mm-hmm. When parents choose to homeschool their child, this is an insulation parenting style, not isolation, because they are protecting their child in a healthy way from the dangerous potentials of the public school system. Very, very, very healthy. Very healthy. Yeah, the idea of indoctrination came up from a caller, and Dr. Brown said that when parents expose their children to negative events at a too early of an age, those children will be adversely affected in the developmental stages and even into their adulthood. Yeah, this is indoctrination. So today we'll start where we left off with Dr. E. Douglas Brown in this area of indoctrination, along with the other two parenting styles of insulation and isolation, starting in preschool and beyond. Dr. Brown, are you there?
Yes, I am, Nazim. Good morning.
Good morning. I can hear you loud and clear, and the audience and the world is witnessing this event right now. Yes, yes. You feeling okay, huh?
Beautiful. Great. Looking forward to this one.
All righty then. All right. We had a good discussion last time. It got lively at the end, and we're always expecting the unexpected. It's all okay because we know that in the end it will be good.
Definitely. Really, no doubt about it.
Yes, sir. So indoctrination. Now, before we get into indoctrination per se, we were talking about insulation and isolation in the preschool ages. Let's talk about the difference there again. You know, a caller was saying that they homeschool their child and all those isolation. But just so we're real clear about this, you know, if a parent decides to homeschool, or a parent decides to even send them off to boarding school or private school someplace in maybe another country even, you know, where they can get a different kind of rounded education. You know, somebody say you're isolating them from their friends in their neighborhood. But isn't that really more insulation?
That's more insulation because, you know, obviously, for example, if we've got a heating system at home at the house and you put in insulation, well, all of the heat, what you want inside, the insulation keeps it inside. Now, what you don't want to come into the house, the insulation protects you from it. So from that perspective, insulation simply means trying to create a healthy environment, particularly a social environment, and a family environment that's conducive to the child's growth. Insulation, in particular referring to child development, simply means that a parent or guardian is attempting to insulate or protect their child or that minor from harmful negative influences, whether those influences are in the family or they may be on the outside, they may be in a neighborhood. But insulation in itself does not mean that it's bad. All of us, we obviously can relate to the idea that, for example, let's say you live in an area where there are lots of tornadoes, right?
Okay.
So if you get a tornado warning, you're going to take precautions. You're going to insulate yourself and protect yourself from possible harm from in the event that a tornado is going to take place. A tornado may occur.
Right.
Now, obviously, you're isolating yourself from the tornado.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
When you go in the shelter, you're isolating yourself from the tornado.
Oh, my.
Which makes a great deal of sense.
Yeah.
You see, if, for example, let's say I live in an area where there are quite a few malcontents and antisocials in that area, wherever it may be. Well, you know, for my well-being and my health, I'm going to isolate myself from them, meaning that I'm not going to become a part of their, you know, their behavior and what they do. I'm going to isolate myself from them, and I'm also going to isolate myself from them. So this is what we want to make clear. This is what we want to make sure that our audience understands. Isolation is not negative. We're talking about isolation from potentially harmful negative influences. Likewise, insulation need not be harmful. We're insulating, for example, in the case that I mentioned before, the child is being insulated from negative influences in the environment, possibly, and also to make sure that the good stuff, the good teachings, You see, learning how to interact with others, that's maintained.
Mm-hmm.
That's reinforced in that environment, in that family. But, you see, oftentimes when it comes to homeschooling, some individuals may unintentionally, they inadvertently, in an attempt to provide homeschooling for their child or children, they may in fact be isolating them. It's a difference between attempting to create that school setting at home with a desk, chairs, books, positive reinforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where indoctrination comes in. This is an example where indoctrination comes in.
Yeah.
Now, indoctrination basically means teaching a person to accept partisan ideas uncritically. Breaking it down, it means teaching or programming a person to accept ideas and beliefs without thinking about them uncritically.
Mm.
One-sided ideas, one-sided beliefs, and teaching them to accept these kinds of ideas and beliefs and not to think about them, not to ask themselves important questions about what they are being exposed to and what they're being taught. This is indoctrination.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most often, more commonly, indoctrination is typically negative. It's usually some kind of negative indoctrination, even if on face value it appears to be beneficial. Now, I'd like to ask, for example, what even though you may be teaching a person ideas, beliefs, and things that on the surface appear to be helpful and beneficial, what is the key that makes it actually a form of indoctrination? What makes it indoctrination?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's indoctrination because it's one-sided. It's one-sided. It's indoctrination because it may possibly include a lot of stereotypes, false assumptions, and it's indoctrination to the extent that you're also teaching a person not to think about what you're telling them,
mm.
not to analyze what you're telling them, just to accept it. Just accept it because this is the way the world is. It's because I said it's this way, or people that I'm around believe it. Now, you know, indoctrination, I mean, you know, the indoctrination in itself is specific to the situation. It's specific to the whatever the goals are in the family or in the group or in the social situation. More commonly and historically, we have seen indoctrination take the form of beliefs and ideas, teaching someone beliefs and ideas, worldviews that are against a certain group, as
mm-hmm.
opposed to
right.
a group that I belong to.
Right, there you go.
And this against indoctrination, this against negative indoctrination, there is the assumption that it shields the child or shields the person and protects them from the influence of the other side. That's one of the mm-hmm. things. Indoctrination shields my child from the influence and possible, you know, elements of the other side, quote unquote, that other side.
Mm-hmm.
Indoctrination also is an attempt to teach me a one-sided view of the world, a one-sided view of reality. And, you know, I'm young, I'm a child, I'm at an age where I can't really critically think and reflect on what you're telling me. I simply accept it. Because you're telling me this and you're an adult, obviously you should know. You're telling what you believe to be true, and I assume as a young child or person, you want me to know this for my own good and my own safety. Let's take a historical example of indoctrination that was received at one time in history as reality. The earth is flat. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Okay, so when we've got Galileo and other scientists coming along, we have individuals who investigate and look into this, and they come up and they say, wait a minute, the earth actually is not flat. Well, the individuals that had been indoctrinated all their life to believe that the earth is flat are unwilling to accept the notion that it's round.
Right.
There are individuals, for example, that may be in positions of influence and power that will actually, in this example, threaten people who say the earth is round.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm speaking about is another consequence of indoctrination, an outcome of what we call indoctrination. And that consequence or outcome is that over time, the individual identifies with what they are being told, and psychologically, it becomes a part of their identity, a part of the self, my identity.
Okay.
So when these ideas and beliefs that they have been taught, the indoctrination process, when they are questioned, or someone says, wait, hold on, the person does what? The person takes it as a threat to their own identity, a threat to their own personhood, their view of reality.
Okay.
Many times you see particularly when you talk about philosophies of life and these kinds of things, it's a historical fact that in human relationships, you see many times when person A comes to person B and tells person B the truth, person B dislikes person A. I don't like you.
No.
Because you have just told me something that goes against what I believe, that goes against what I've been taught.
Right.
And what I've been taught is a one-sided view.
Okay.
So I don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
Now how can we relate this to social relationships and behavior between individuals? If you indoctrinate people, if you use a process of indoctrination when you bring up children and they reach maturity in adulthood, and in their later years in terms of adulthood, they may in fact be teenagers,
and they
experience information, they get information, or they have experiences that contradict what you have taught them, how are they going to respond? What are the ways in which people respond to experiences and information that contradict these unmovable beliefs, these unmovable attitudes and ideas that they've been taught all their life?
Mm-hmm. Resentment.
Exactly. Resentment and anger.
Right.
Now, you know, our program, meaning your show, the program we participate in, is based upon positive ideas. Now, it's positive. It's the positive that causes growth.
Mm-hmm.
But as you hinted to in the beginning of the program, there's been quite a bit of violence within the last week.
Mm-hmm.
Lethal violence, not only in the United States, but other parts of the world, ongoing and otherwise. last weekend, I remember reading in the paper, internet, that there were about 20 children injured in China in a classroom situation. Even though we don't know the specific reasons, we don't know. We can't read the person's mind. We're not next to them. To what extent is a large part of the violence that we see around us due to indoctrination? Given what indoctrination is, indoctrination is an attitude. It's a belief. It's ideas that are one-sided, that are partisan, that are biased. Their attitudes, beliefs, and ideas that truly do not reflect reality. It's not a reflection of the truth. So, in sum, what I'm saying is that if the insulation, what I'm saying is that insulation that you provide for your child also includes indoctrination, it is harmful. Because you're insulating, quote unquote, your child from the truth. If that child is in a situation where the isolation, in fact, involves isolation from ideas, beliefs, and attitudes that run against my one-sided view of reality, then it's harmful, right?
Yes.
So, let's move a little closer to home. One of the most blatant forms of indoctrination that has had highly toxic negative effects in our society is racism. Although racism, you know, is nothing new, one of the things that I like to point out is that the definition of the human family as divided into races actually is a form of indoctrination.
Okay.
If I teach others that human beings are divided into races, it's a one-sided view of reality. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't correspond with the truth.
Yes, I can see that.
But objective reality. Human beings are not divided into races. A race is a biological concept. It's a genetic concept. Race really means species.
Mm-hmm.
The birds, species of animals. There's only one human species, Homo sapiens.
Right, there you go.
All human beings belong to the same species. But by promoting and maintaining the idea or the worldview of races, it's one-sided. It's inaccurate and it's one-sided. And see, that child or that young student who's brought up in school, for example, and has been taught and booked in the sense of reading books and has had teachers, and all of them have repeated the notion that human beings are races, okay? Races, we're different, we're distinct, we're cut off from one another. That does not in the long run have a positive impact on society, and is certainly not conducive to the healthy, balanced development of that child. So, we see where, for example, in the concept of race, as indoctrination, racism is simply a one-sided view. It's a biased view. And it's often, not just often, but most of the time, if not all the time, it's inaccurate. It's an inaccurate, stereotype, one-sided view. And it's shared by all individuals that are victims of it, that are products of this type of upbringing. I was anticipating and hoping with a small H that our caller would chime in
Yeah, from New Jersey. Now, also, let's talk about classes in there, too, because that's also probably indoctrination, wouldn't you say?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And where has that historically been most, what we can say, where has it historically been very prominent that you hear a lot about it? In the historically Indian subcontinent, India, the caste system.
Okay.
Because obviously to maintain a caste system, you have to literally indoctrinate individuals. At every caste level, they have to be indoctrinated about this system. See, individuals in the lower caste have to be taught and indoctrinated that they are in the lower caste because of whatever, X, Y, Z. Individuals in the higher caste, they are indoctrinated that they're in the higher caste because of X, Y, Z. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
The classes, classification of human beings based upon complexion, basically it violates common sense and reason. You know, classification of human beings based on any kind of notion that there are inherent differences between people that make one group superior and another group inferior is obviously not true. It's false.
And we have a lot of that. We have a lot of that in a political system too, don't we?
Yes, yes. But whose advantage does it serve? Who, in fact, benefits from racism, from indoctrination? It's usually the entities and individuals that promote it in the first place.
Yes.
See, you know, like, for example, in our society, and we're trying to do a lot in our society nowadays to heal this. A lot we know what's going on to heal it. But you see, the indoctrination in our society in terms of racism and whites and blacks, whites are superior, blacks are inferior, and everything associated with that, it actually harms both whites and blacks, or African-Americans and, you know, Anglo-Americans. It harms both groups. Now, what is it that, among other things, socially speaking and economically speaking, in a broad sense, that they share in common? They share their economic plight more or less in common. However, racism is a very effective tool and means to divide them. It's a very effective form of indoctrination that prevents many individuals from recognizing a situation which they have in common. It prevents them from being able to galvanize and work together for their mutual interest. That's what takes place on the social level. That's an example on the social level. In terms of current times, we see this very clearly and very graphically in terms of the disparity between the incomes of working class people and people who are far more wealthy or fortunate. And one of the techniques that was used in the recent presidential election was, in fact, to divide voters, to divide them along the lines of quote-unquote race. You see, so that they would not be able to recognize and understand that they have far more in common than they are led to believe in their differences. Now, you know, this can take place in a family setting as well. Only we don't call it racism. In the family setting, it can take place in terms, for example, of preferences. If there are siblings in the household, and the siblings are not treated equitably. They're not treated fairly. Now, I didn't say equally. I said fairly.
Okay. Okay.
Difference between being treated fairly and being treated equitably. If you've got siblings in a household and one is 16, one is 10, and one is 9, you don't treat them equally.
Right.
But you treat them fairly.
Mm-hmm.
Based upon their age, their needs, the circumstance, you know, their lives. In other words, developmental periods in their life.
Right, exactly.
In contrast, if you teach the 16-year-old that he or she is better than his or her younger siblings, if you teach, well, you're better than them, they don't deserve what you have, that's a form of indoctrination, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Anytime, you know, not many times, I recant that. Let's just say it happens too often. That can happen inadvertently too often in family situations where there are sibling conflicts or inabilities to come together because parents tend to say that, Johnny, you're better than Jane. Jane, why can't you act like Johnny?
Right, right. You hear it all the time.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what? That's actually a kind of indoctrination. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Because if Jane hears it repeated over and over again, that she's not better than, she can't, why doesn't she act like John, her older brother?
Mm-hmm.
And this is repeated over and over again, right?
Oh, yes. And then you have the idea of her becoming a victim, or victimization comes in right there.
That's right. Victimization. Low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Superiority complex.
Yeah.
And what happens to John? John is not, he's a victim too.
Mm-hmm.
So if John is going around in the extreme, since John is deluded, he's delusional. He thinks he's superior to his sister. You know, he thinks that he has certain innate qualities and characteristics that are reason for him to merit more from his parents than his younger sister, that he's more deserving. So.
Mm-hmm.
That indoctrination takes a toll on his psyche as well, in the sense he doesn't deal with reality either.
Yeah, matter of fact, he's a victim of indoctrination, actually.
Right, he is. He is.
Uh-huh.
Now, just simply extend this from a family, a nuclear family situation where we've got parents indoctrinating their children, to the greater society. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
You see, whereas John is one group and Jane is another group. See?
Mm-hmm.
John, or that particular group, is indoctrinated that it's superior, it's more deserving, more meritorious, is better. Where Jane, the other group, is indoctrinated that it's inferior, that it is undeserving and unqualified, and these kinds of negatives. So you have a situation on a broader level, on a social level, where you have indoctrination. You see, indoctrination having a very toxic effect on the overall mental health and well-being of the entire society.
Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I want to pause right there. Looking at the classism part again, we see out here, what might have just happened recently, when you have a certain, it can work in reverse. So you have a certain so-called poor class that really has a hatred toward those that have some money or those who are doing well, supposedly.
Yes, you thank
see?
You for pointing that out.
You know, you got to look at the other side. There's the two sides of that coin. So we had that going on. And then you start saying, well, you know, those that have all that, you know, we don't like them. They don't care about us. They don't care how we're living. And somebody needs to do something about that. You
definitely.
See? And the child hears that at preschool age, starts hearing that, that something needs to be done about that.
Right.
You see?
Right.
That's
a very important point you're bringing up, right? The child is at home. I'm at home. I'm Johnny or Jane. And I repeatedly hear my parents talking about the other group. They're talking
right.
about everything that the other group has and we don't have. Everybody in the other group is to be blamed, see, and none of us are to be blamed. That's a form of indoctrination, like you're saying. It works in reverse in the sense that it is just as harmful to a child's psychological and social development as teaching a child to hate others in the sense of I'm superior to that other group. I repeat. It is just as harmful psychologically and socially to indoctrinate and teach a child that those folks who are not like me and they don't look like us or they don't have as much economic prosperity as we do, it is just as harmful to teach a child that these are the enemy. These are evil. See, all of them are evil.
Right, exactly. So now, with that in mind, isn't it important to, well, the child, you know, can, it's hard for the child to kind of make the change in their victim, but some kind of way, the parents, if we can look at the long-term effects, not only just on that child, but how about the parents? How about the parents who are actually planting those seeds? How is their life affected? That's a good question.
Because through teaching their children these one-sided, partisan, biased ideas and views of reality, it actually reinforces the same views in the parents. It reinforces and strengthens their sense that what their parents taught them or how they feel is correct. They have parents, for example, in the parent-child relationship. When a parent communicates these kinds of ideas to the child, the parent feels satisfied. The parent feels that I've done something very good. The parent congratulates him or herself for, you know, I'm teaching my child what my child needs to know. If my child is going to survive in this world, see?
Oh, okay.
And it makes me feel like a very good parent, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm an adequate parent because I'm preparing my child for the real world. And we're not being negative. It's not disparaging and not being negative with respect to the genuine intents of sincere parents who are trying to help their children. What we are focusing on right now is the psychological impact of indoctrination on children and also on their parents. Given the meaning of indoctrination, it's not true. It's one-sided. It's partisan. It's biased. It's imbalanced. Now, the effect that it has on the parent is that it reinforces in the parent's mind, well, I guess this is right. I believe this, and I'm teaching this to my kids. So that's, in essence, what it is. See? Now, there's another aspect here that I think is worth commenting on.
Okay.
If the child gets information, sees something, or has an experience that contradicts what the parents have taught him or her.
Okay.
Parents, in some cases, they push on the accelerator. They attempt to repeat, emphasize, increase, and amplify those indoctrinations, those ideas. They attempt, even in the case if their child is an adult, they'll try to isolate their child or tell their child, no, don't listen to that. Don't listen to them. Don't do that. Don't do
okay.
that.
Okay.
They try to prevent their child, their adult, no, they try to prevent their child or adult from any contact and any experience or getting information that contradicts what they have taught their child all of their life.
Right.
That's where, you know, that's where I think, that's where I think on a political level, where you see this constant parade, so to speak, these constant efforts to denigrate or disrespect our president, President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
I don't personally believe that this is entirely political. I think in some cases it represents a abnormal need. It's a psychological need to project and present him as inadequate, as inferior, because in so doing, this protects individuals that have been indoctrinated. You see, all their lives, that African Americans are unintelligent, that we
right.
cannot do anything of any worth.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, hold on. Looking at indoctrination, still on the caregiver. Let's talk a little more about the effects. You did a little bit, but how is their life unfold? I know a lot of them are really, really bitter, and they get worse as they get older. But look at what other effects. How do they personally? How do their lives unfold?
Well, in general, one way we could look at this is say, if a person has been basically living their life, it's rooted in indoctrination. It's rooted in false beliefs, a false worldview, a one-sided view.
Mm-hmm.
As they mature, as the world changes, and for so to speak, you find out that the world is not flat.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that more and more, they see more and more people embracing the idea that the earth is round.
Okay.
If the person is unwilling to change, they find themselves isolated from others, right?
Mm-hmm.
They isolate themselves from others. They don't want to be around other people because other people say and do things that contradict what they believe, and they are unwilling to give up or change. So later in life, a person becomes highly resentful, isolated.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear what you're talking about. Oh, don't tell me this. Don't tell me that. Because they're unwilling to change their incorrect views and attitudes.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of that old feuding hillbilly family story called The Hatfields and the McCoys. Remember them?
Yes. Yeah, the caricatures, right? Caricatures in the media and on television of individuals who refuse to change their beliefs and attitudes despite all of the progress and the change that is occurring around them. In fact, what does it tell us when a person is refusing to change their beliefs and attitudes that they've been indoctrinated with? That they cannot critically think.
Oh, okay.
They do not know how to critically think and analyze information that they have been told. They prefer to do what? They prefer to remain in that cozy comfort level. Let me just accept. For me, you see, the earth is round. I mean, it's flat.
Flat,
I don't
right.
The earth is flat for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to stay flat.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really care what you believe.
Ha, 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 ha. Well, I think that's why a lot of people really bring with rage inside with our president, because they can't stand that image. You know, it goes so against what they've been indoctrinated, you know, and maybe a generational thing, you know?
Yeah, it's possibly generational, you know what? But I think that kind of gives us some explanation of why so heavy? Why this constant barrage on President Obama, this constant ridicule and undermining him as President of the United States? I think for many people it's fundamentally psychological. It's
mm-hmm.
of course indoctrination and what they've been brought up to believe.
Now, I'll tell you what, we're going to close a little bit, but I want to end with the insulation. Now talk about, you know, insulation as, say, for instance, you have parents who understand that their environment has children that have been indoctrinated. Okay, they know that. Say, for instance, they have a family moved into a certain neighborhood, and they realize real quickly that they've got some challenges because they're around a lot of children. A lot of parents have been indoctrinated, and that this family holds a different kind of a cultural belief system. All right, so let's talk about insulation in this regard.
Well, the new neighbors,
yes,
so to speak, the new neighbors that have moved into the neighborhood, it's important that they do not isolate themselves from their neighbors. Now, just because they have different views, different cultural traditions and beliefs, the last thing that you want to see people doing is isolating one another because they have different cultural views and tastes and what have you.
Okay.
Now, assume that the new neighbors understand that because they are strangers, because they have different lifestyle, maybe different tastes, The new neighbors are capable of tolerating a certain degree of aloofness by the neighborhood.
Okay.
You see, they're capable of understanding that. They realize that we share a different taste and what have you. We live around individuals that don't understand and are not familiar with our beliefs and our lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
However, if it comes to a point where the neighborhood begins to harass, you see, and threaten, or in some way intimidate the new neighbors, they've crossed the line. They've crossed the line in terms of respect, others' human rights, others' disbeliefs or whatever their beliefs or their customs. I don't know one piece of real estate on earth that has any in the dirt. If I pick up the dirt real estate, I don't see any religion on it, specific religion. I don't see any specific ethnic group in that handful of dirt that I'm holding in my hand, anything of this sort. So what I'm alluding to is the notion that you can't live around me and be around me because you are different from me. It's actually a form of negative indoctrination.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of bias, and it's a kind of racism.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a minute. I want to make this comment.
Okay.
On the other hand, if the new neighbors have moved to that neighborhood because they believe that by moving into that neighborhood that they are better persons, that they are closer to their neighbors in terms of their humanity, then they need to reconsider moving into that neighborhood. In other words, if they have been indoctrinated that others who are unlike them are better than them, and to be close to these others is what you want to pursue. An indoctrination, if I can get close to them, then I'm equal to them. No, 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 no. That's not why I wanted to move in that neighborhood.
Oh, I see. I can follow that, sure.
It works both ways, you see.
I can follow that. But, you know, also, you know, insulation is still a knowing that you have this indoctrinated, you know, environment that's really kind of against your core belief systems, that wise parent would do some real careful insulation inside the home.
Absolutely. That's right. Real insulation. Insulation, but it doesn't mean locking out the diversity.
Okay.
Insulation does not mean locking and preventing diverse views.
Mm-hmm.
It simply means insulating that child from negative, toxic, emotionally and psychologically toxic influences. See?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, parents, healthy parents, sincere parents, are quite capable of child rearing. They're able to decipher, they know the difference from positive and negative influences. They want to isolate their children from environmental factors that will be detrimental to their children, negative. And they want to indoctrinate their children with truth. See, there is
mm-hmm.
a type of indoctrination that is not actually one-sided, if you think about it. If you teach your children wholesome beliefs, healthy ideas, respect for others, that's not indoctrination in the typical way we understand it. That's simply teaching your children what it means to be righteous, what it means to treat others fairly, and to be positive in their worldview.
Mm-hmm. Now, right there, Dr. Brown, I want to kind of pause because I actually want to start on that one next time. I would call it positive indoctrination. What that entails and how is that effective?
Exactly. I think that would be great, positive indoctrination.
Yeah.
We're going to have to change the definition of indoctrination a little, but we're going to do that. We're going to change, talk about positive teaching and indoctrination.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Because that way, you know, even looking at that title there, that would draw attention that people want to say, wow, let me hear that. What's that all about?
Right. Gotcha.
See, so we're going to do that. So we're going to stop right there, and we'll have you come on.
Thank you.
Actually, next year, next month.
In 2013.
How about that, 2013? I think we survived the Mayan calendar. Did we survive the Mayan end of the world yet? I think we did.
I'm not sure what the date is. I don't know. But, I don't know. You know what you did, the Nazim? You did? I wonder if that indoctrination. I don't know.
I think it was a 12-12 or the 12-22. Anyway.
Okay,
we survive, and so we're going to survive and thrive because we believe we can.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's not a form of indoctrination, by the way. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, very good. We're going to do that for sure. So I invite everybody to call. We've had some live people that have listened in, and also someone have been listening online. And even though it's okay, we also invite you to hit your number one button on your phone to actually participate and actually chime in, and that's okay. You can do that. It's fine. So it's all right. So in case you have questions or comments, you can do that or leave word on the live chat, which you always have on those listening online, and be a part of this great discussion because right now we need to have this. We need to know why people are doing and thinking the way they are thinking because of those early preschool seeds that are planted into the consciousness of our children. They are one-sided and very myopic. And what happens is that the kid, unconsciously, had no conscience of this, they start growing from that seed that was planted. And it grows from the subconscious. So it's like coming from behind you and influencing you without your conscious knowledge of it. You see, so we got to watch that. So, Dr. Brown, I thank you again for coming on the Reconnected Show. You've been a big
thank you. Thing. Thank you. I enjoy it all the time.
Yeah, thank you for sure. So, everybody tune in next week. And actually, Dr. Brown, you should be surprised. He's coming on next week. I won't say it now because our shows are actually rebroadcast. So, you'll know.
Okay. Take
Father's Day, a day to say thanks to the